Hello listeners, just letting you know that the new Grad Malaysia's Internship Guide 2023 is out. Discover practical internship-specific career advice on finding and choosing the right internship, assessing your internship interviews, and how to get the most out of your internship. Download the e-magazine now for free at gradmalaysia.com/career-guides.
You're listening to Grad Malaysia's TMI podcast.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to another episode of Grad Malaysia's TMI podcast. We are now 5 episodes into the podcast, which is kind of amazing for me if I'm being honest. If you were to tell my younger self that I would be hosting a podcast one day, the younger me would probably think that you were teasing her. That's because I used to be terrified of speaking in front of large crowds or audiences, even ones that I couldn't see but knew who were watching or listening and judging me. And I know this is not a fear that I alone have. After all, glossophobia, as I've learned it is called, is often ranked as one of the highest or most common fears that people have. Which is funny when you realize a fear of things that can actually kill us is often ranked lower than just talking. My first experience public speaking was in primary school. It was tradition that the prefects with higher posts should take turns to MC the Monday assemblies. As someone who always avoided speaking or performing alone in public, I knew I didn't really have the option to run from this responsibility as the assistant head prefect. For the first week, I was allowed to read off a script. I remember how I had to grip the microphone and papers tightly so no one would notice how much my hands were trembling. And I was so relieved to get off the stage with the knowledge I wouldn't have to do something like that again for the next few weeks. Until, of course, the other prefects I was meant to take turns with conveniently got sick or were absent on the consecutive Mondays, which meant I had to keep replacing them as the MC. Until finally my teachers decided that since I had already practiced enough times and had good enough English, I should just MC the assembly for the rest of the year. And just like that, my public speaking journey had begun. I never voluntarily competed in solo public speaking or debate competitions, but I have on tons of occasions been selected to MC events or do public presentations and talks. There was a period of time when I even juggled the idea of becoming a YouTuber, and I even had to do a podcast as part of an assignment during my university days. All of which have apparently been preparing me to host this very podcast today. Despite all that, I'm still learning new ways to improve my public speaking skills. And while it may seem to students that most working adults seem to have a good grasp of their self-confidence and presentation skills, it was eye-opening for me to see my co-workers, with years of working experience, still exhibit some of the same panicked moments and nervous tics that peers my age do when asked to do a public speech or presentation, which made me realize that this would be a very interesting topic indeed to discuss on a podcast. Now, I'll be mentioning a lot of different TED Talks and podcasts that I've referenced in this episode, and I know you can't be listening to all of them, but if there is one that you absolutely have to watch, it is a TED Talk by speaking coach DK. Yes, that's his name. Called The Public Speaking Lesson You Never Had. It is the most concise and in-your-face lesson I have ever found on public speaking, and every lesson he shares is truly eye-opening and effective. As Danish Damani came to realize, as he shares in his TED Talk, how I overcame my fear of public speaking, confident public speaking isn't something a person is born with or just wakes up one day being able to do. It is a teachable and learnable skill, and a talent that one can practice and hone. And there are many different ways, new tools, and resources to do so, as long as we decide to be brave enough and consistent enough to actually learn it. So here are some of the tips that I've managed to put together to help you become a better speaker, regardless of whether it's to MC an award show, to present a sales pitch, to share your ideas in a meeting, or just attend a job interview. The first tip is to know your content well. It can be extremely difficult to talk about or present a topic that you don't already know like the back of your hand. Not only do you have to keep the audience engaged and interested in your content, but you're also making up the content as you go, which leaves too much room for accidentally messing up. And of course, the dreaded brain farts, the unofficial term for when you suddenly go blank mid-sentence and forget what to say next. Hence why it is best for you to do as much research, fact-checking, and preparation as possible. Prepare any visual aids like presentation slides or product displays yourself, and personalize the presentation to suit your own presentation style as much as you can. Making it your own will give you much more control over the flow of your delivery. Knowing your content well will also eliminate the need for you to memorize your speech word for word and making it easier to riff off with the key information that you already know. Condense it down to the important information. You don't need to give an hour-long speech by filling it with needless examples and stories if your audience can walk away with the same message in just 10 minutes. Consider the possible questions that your audience may ask you as well and how you're going to answer them. Personally, I've always felt that the general fear of being put on the spot and speaking in public has only been amplified by the tendency of our teachers and lecturers to randomly pick us from a crowd and ask questions we don't know the answer to, or berating us in front of our peers if we fail to prove our understanding of the topic. It is a similar fear that stops most of us from attempting to stand in front of a crowd and speak comfortably. We fear judgment from them, as we are so used to being evaluated and graded for our presentation skills. In most cases, we don't really even fear the actual presentation itself, but the Q&A that might follow, because of the subconscious trauma of being caught like a deer in headlights by our teachers still looming in the back of our heads. But if you really can't come up with the answer for your audience's questions, there is no shame in admitting that you simply do not know. It is okay to ask for help to answer them, or promising to get back to that person at a later time. This can actually help to increase your credibility, as you have proved you are an honest person and will try to only provide accurate information instead of making things up on the spot for the sake of saving face. Number 2. Your visual aids are just that. Aids. They should not be leading the presentation, and you should not be reading off of them. If you're starting out with a script, that's fine. But over time, you have to learn to reduce them to just cue cards and eventually, if possible, to no script at all. An audience will connect and resonate with you so much better if they know your words are coming from you on the spot like a conversation and not like it was written for you offstage by a team of experts. If you're using a PowerPoint, don't read off of it. DK says that if you're using bullet points, that is fine. But don't let the whole list of bullet points appear before you get to each point verbally, because now your audience is reading that text instead of listening to what you're saying, or they just lose focus altogether. So use animations to have the points appear as you are talking about them. You don't necessarily need to use fancy animations, transitions, or sound effects in your presentation either, although they may help if you use them sparingly and strategically. Your own physical presence, your voice, and your body language should be what holds the most attention, not your visual aids. And they're not even compulsory. If you think you can do a presentation without using slides, then by all means, skip them too. Number 3. Work on your delivery. Smile as much as you can. Use open body language. Don't flail your arms around too much, but learn to use your arms and gestures to aid in your storytelling and keep the audience invested. When you use gestures, your audience remembers twice as much of your presentation, and so can you. Get your tone and intonations right. Learn when to speed up your speech to show excitement, and when to slow down to show seriousness. Deliver your content with sincerity and authenticity, and you've already got the audience rooting for you to succeed. Use some humor too if you can. Getting the audience to laugh with you can help to ease you into the presentation. And if they don't laugh, or you accidentally do something embarrassing and have them laughing at you instead, just laugh along with them. Make fun of yourself. Nothing shows true confidence than being able to laugh at yourself instead of running and hiding in shame. Number 4. Identify your nervous habits and tics. Despite starting to speak in public at 12 years old, and having so many different experiences of it over the years, to this day, my hands still tremble when I have to present in public, even when I don't really feel nervous at all. The way I overcome this is to have something to hold, a microphone, a clicker, a podium, hooking my thumb in my blazer or pant pockets, or if I really have nothing to hold, I compensate with movements and gestures. No one is going to notice the trembling if you keep strategically moving your hands in big motions. I remember my best friend from high school having a nervous habit whenever she had to do presentations in class. It was similar to what DK calls the one-legged walk, but in her case, one leg would be planted firmly on the ground while the other kept swinging from her heel to her toes, and she would be doing this dance for the entire presentation, which made it very hard to focus on her words. So it is important to identify your nervous habits or have your peers point them out for you so you can work on hiding or overcoming these tics. Do you flail your arms, shuffle your feet, do you ramble too much, or do you use too many filler words like ahs, ums, likes, and you knows? Finding out what they are is the first step to then work on overcoming them, so you can present the illusion of confidence to your audience through your body language. There is a great TED Talk too by Caroline Goider called The Surprising Secret to Speaking with Confidence, in which she gives tips on how to channel different aspects of our body, our voice, our breathing, our diaphragm, and how learning to control them can help us to channel our thoughts in a much calmer way. Another great video on body language is called Make Body Language Your Superpower by the Stanford Graduate School of Business YouTube channel, which is all about where and how you should stand, gesture, and engage the audience. Tip number 5. Master some confidence hacks and psychology tricks. You don't have to imagine your audience sitting in their underwear, and you don't have to pick a random spot in the background and focus on that while avoiding eye contact with your audience. Instead, I would advise on the opposite. Find the one person in your audience who is giving you their undivided attention and focus on them. Look around occasionally to bring the rest of the audience into the conversation. And if you can find others who are also giving their undivided attention, focus on them too. Let the others fade away, and even if you're speaking to a crowd of 1,000 people, your goal now is to just get that message across to this one person in front of you. You might remember your teachers or lecturers doing this too, with the sudden realization that they now think you're paying attention to their lesson, so you need to maintain eye contact too. This is because the subtle reactions, the understanding nods, and the encouraging smiles can actually make you feel more at ease and less like you're being judged by them. It's a tactic that comedians like to use too, which is why it is usually advised to avoid sitting in the front row of a stand-up comedy show, unless you're willing to become the butt of the joke. And there are so many other such hacks out there. There's another TED Talk by Emily Jensen called 6 Behaviors to Increase Your Confidence that you should check out. Some of the behaviors she shares are also psychological hacks to help you become a better speaker. The next tip is not the last, but it is certainly a very important one. Make your presentation about your audience, not about you. You're not just doing this for you, you're doing this for them. Simon Sinek, who is a best-selling author, speaker, and organizational consultant, shares that what some of the best speakers he has found have in common is that they are givers, not takers. They're not just trying to sell you their product or services, but they actually care about the benefit their info is going to give you. The speaker does not intend to gain anything from their audience, not even their approval. You are simply the messenger packaging your content and presenting it to the audience in your own way, but it is the message and the receivers that matter the most. When you realize this crucial aspect of public speaking, not only does this remove a ton of pressure off your shoulders, but it also helps you to work on making your delivery much more effective. In the How To podcast episode, How to Command a Room, guest speaker Meghna Chakrabarty says that we should have the confidence in the person we are and just be ourselves instead of worrying about building a fake, confident public persona. We don't usually have nervous tics when we're giving advice or information to our close friends and family. We because we're more concerned about them receiving our message than their judgment of us. If we were to approach speaking to a crowd like speaking to a friend, then they would have no reason not to just accept us the way we are instead of expecting a master speaker. And the message will be better received by them too. And finally, tip number 7. Learn to love your content and speak about it with passion. Have you seen those presentations and TED Talks by scientists, linguists, and artists where they talk about the most random or niche topics, yet somehow manage to get you interested in them? You probably couldn't care less about some wild mushroom growing in some distant forest, but when you see the scientist's face light up and their open body language as he talks about this new exciting discovery, you can't help but to smile along with them. Even if you're just listening to a podcast and not actually watching the person, hearing the joy and passion in their intonation suddenly makes you actually care about this dumb mushroom. So learn to find the remarkable in your content. You are the subject matter expert in this room. And when you truly care about your content, you can show the audience just how much you care about it, and they will start caring too. Try to make it personal too, instead of simply giving an info dump on other people's findings and research. By sharing your own experiences, this not only increases your credibility for sharing your own tried and tested experiences, but it also resonates with the audience much better. As Maya Angelou's famous quote goes, "I've learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel." A few years ago, I was watching an interview with actor Tom Holland, and when asked if he gets nervous about auditions and performances, he said the best piece of advice he had received was from his first ever director, Nick Evans, which is to turn his nerves into excitement. This is a really cool psychological trick that I have since started using and found super effective. And it is the same advice DK ends his TED Talk with as well. When you're nervous, you face the same physical symptoms as when you're excited. So if you can manage to trick yourself into thinking, "Oh my God, I can't wait to share all this information that I have. I'm so excited to do this." That itself can help you get through any public interaction you are going to have. This was by no means an exhaustive list, but those are the 7 tips that, in my opinion, can help you face and overcome your fear of public speaking. If there is one takeaway you get from this episode, it's this. Take your time, take pauses, gather your thoughts. Don't worry about using filler sounds and stammering, because those are things that you can learn to phase out with time, experience, and knowing your content well. And you don't have to present as good as those TED speakers you love watching, because by setting the standard so high, you're already setting yourself up for failure. Not everyone presents the same way, so just embrace your own style and do it your own way. So maybe you end up feeling super embarrassed about how the presentation goes, but remember that we often tend to lay the harshest judgment upon ourselves, and the odds are that your embarrassing moment is just going to be out of their memory by the end of the day. So don't beat yourself up about it. And at the end of the day, if your content is good and your delivery is interesting enough, no one is really going to care about the ahs and ums or the embarrassing moments. What they will remember is how the message made them feel. So make it a good one. Thank you for listening to me talk, guys, and I hope you will keep tuning in to hear me talk in future episodes. Goodbye! Thank you for listening to another episode of Grad Malaysia's TMI podcast. Don't forget to check out our website, gradmalaysia.com, for more career guide articles and ebooks, as well as new job and internship openings. Follow us on social media too for even more career tips and fun content. That's GRADMALAYSIA.